This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, hey, hey. What's up, everybody? It is Wednesday. It's the 2nd of August. A little bit of false enthusiasm for you. A bit of a false start. Da-na-na-na-na. Ben was just digging in the pockets of a jacket he hasn't worn for a while, and he found a pair of headphones, well, earphones that he thought he'd lost.
What a win. These are my podcast listening to headphones, earpieces.
That's like when you find change in a pair of pants or a 100-rand note in a jacket pocket. Oh, wow. It's nice, isn't it?
These things are so elusive. I lose them on average every 12 days.
Oh.
They're also my traveling. I'm happy to have them back.
All right. Okay, so Ben's day's off to a good start. How's yours? Yeah.
And 4 months to my birthday, guys. Thanks for bringing it up.
Oh, that's right. Oh. Yeah, it's the 2nd of December.
Isn't your birthday on the 3rd of December? 2nd of December. Okay, 4 months exactly.
Well,
2 days left till Barack Obama's birthday.
Jeepers, what a time to be wondering. Alive.
Exactly. The countdown begins.
I just want to throw something in and say 4 months to Britney Spears' birthday.
Yeah, it is the same day.
Okay. These are the things that are important.
Got a message from Mabali early this morning. She's not feeling well, and she said she's got, you know, let these demons out of my body and not come in. Sounds horrible, whatever it is.
Mm.
Yeah. So, no Gord today either. We're on skeleton staff by the looks of things because he's got some party or something on, but he might join us on Friday.
A party at 6 a.m?
No, like a hangover from last night, probably.
Okay.
Anyway,
had to clarify that.
You know, it's kind of like South Africa. The cabinet sort of sometimes work. You know, I mean, what are ministers? When last did you hear of a minister doing something in their portfolio? Like actually getting something done in their portfolio. Like they opened a school if they're Angie Motshekga, or they did something useful in health, or they did something really important in public enterprises. Let's say they cleaned out 1,000 staff members in the bureaucracy that we don't need.
Well,
nothing. It's a howling wilderness of nothingness going on in cabinet at the moment. And I wonder, because I see blue light brigades on the highways, and I think, where are you going and what are you doing that's so important that actually involves the country? Or is this just other ANC business? Because I don't think you should be allowed to use blue lights if it's ANC business. I think if you're the president of the country and you're doing presidential stuff for the country, sure. You can waste the people of this country's time. You can force us to the side of the road. You can make us wait. But if you are doing ANC business, you do that on your own time. And if you get stuck in traffic, you have to wait like the rest of us. Because the ANC is not the important part of this country. It's not the most important thing. In fact, less than 10 million people voted for the ANC in the last election, if I'm led to be believed by the figures that I last saw. And if that's the case, that makes that 1/5 of the population who even care that you exist. The other 4/5 don't give a shit about you. So just think about that the next time you put on your blue lights, please, ministers and presidents and deputy presidents, while you're on your campaign trail or you're trying to get involved in more state capture, whatever it is that you're doing. Apparently the other day, Justice tweeted that he saw the president's motorcade leaving Sachsenwald.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's so brazen about it now. He obviously had reported to his masters at Sachsenwald and was on his way home, and everybody saw this. He doesn't even care anymore to disguise what he's up to.
Doesn't he have a house in the area as well?
I think he's in Forest Town.
So that's just up the road. So it could have been a nice walk. Yeah, it's getting warmer.
Well, this guy is so afraid. You watch how he walks around with so many bodyguards now. You know, this is the problem. When you piss off a lot of people, someone's going to want to shoot you at some point.
And all it takes is that one person.
Mm-hmm. That Lee one Harvey person. Oswald, Gavrilo Princip.
good at Gavula shit.
The Archduke Franz Ferdinand that started World War One. Booth, John Wilkes Booth, who shot Abraham Lincoln in the theater. You know, these are the people who change history. No bodyguards can save you from that if it happens. I'm not saying I want that to happen. I'd prefer not to have assassinations, if you ask me. But the president doesn't believe he's safe because he knows how many enemies he's made. And let me tell you, it's not going to get easier for him. It's going to get worse. You would not want to be President Zuma right now.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Anyway.
The Nkandla, the title, that doesn't make anything better.
He's got no protection anymore. And there's no confidence vote whether it delivers anything. Everybody's got their hopes up about this, like it's going to change things. I'm afraid we're in the mud until December. Nothing is going to happen. You've got a bunch of willless, gormless, spineless people who are all waiting for something to happen because they have no leadership abilities of their own. They're waiting for some chief to tell them what to do because that's the kind of people they are.
It's also the kind of president he is. He's always just been the chief. He's never been a president.
That's right. So he's told people what to do and they've done what he told them. And that's what you can expect for the next little while. I hate to depress you on the 2nd of August, but that's what you've got to look forward to. And I'm not excited about the next couple of months of being in South Africa. And I've got to tell you, if I had $1 billion right now, I wouldn't live here anymore. And the only reason I'm here now is because there's nowhere else for me to go right now. And I don't love South Africa. And I could care less about this place. And I could care less about the politics of this place. And it frustrates and infuriates me on a daily basis that I have to be subject to the nonsense that a bunch of politicians who do not give a shit about you and me are busy with. I don't care about it anymore. If I had lots and lots of money, you wouldn't even hear from me again. That's the truth. And I don't think I'm the only one. Mm-mm. Because the statistics say some 50,000 people have left South Africa since the beginning of 2017.
Wow, this year?
Yes. And they are not, these are not useless people who are sitting around on their backsides without degrees, without usefulness, without skills, without qualifications. These are people who could get out because they have those things, which leaves a bigger swamp for the rest of us to have to deal with.
Yeah, these essentially are business owners. These are
absolutely
high-profile, high-tax-paying individuals a lot of the time.
That's right.
I don't know. For me, I feel like a lot of people are losing their will to actually fight or to speak out or to try to make a difference, because you always feel like whatever, you know, you say, or we take one step forward and we take three steps back. So,
well, it's,
and that's a dangerous place to be in.
Absolutely.
A very horrible position to be in.
I think also it's like, how do you fight? A lot of people just feel quite despondent because they're not entirely sure how they're going to make a difference or how they can be part of a solution. Because like you try to fight the good fight and then you got to pay tax and you think, jeepers, what a waste of money this is.
Mm.
Or you try to fight the good fight, but, I mean, constitution being what it is, president stays for how long?
We got 27.8% unemployment at the moment. Now, I'll tell you something. As a small business owner, I don't want to do this anymore. I really don't.
But call me naive, but I really do believe in just holding on to whatever good feeling you have. Like the Journey song. Just don't stop believing.
Well, Adrian Groenewald this morning says, as you face today, may you have the strength to rise above the wave of negativity and with a sense of hope and optimism be part of the solution.
You don't have to change the whole world this morning, but just take one tiny step towards something.
It's true.
Unfollow a stupid person on social media.
Yeah. Look, it's just daunting when you gotta try to surface an army with like, with that piece of wood that Rose wouldn't let Leo onto in Titanic.
I know, but just, thank you for the Titanic analogy.
No, it's just, I know. It's just enough. It's like, enough. There's only so much you can take, and then eventually you look at your wallet and you look at your living circumstances. You go, this is just not, it's not worth putting up the shit anymore. I think I'd rather be ordinary and middle class in some country that works. That's what a lot of my friends have done.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all my varsity friends, we've got five left out of a group of maybe 20. These are people I went to university with, people who all are qualified professionals, smart people. They made a difference while they were here. They're not here making a difference anymore. They're somewhere else making a difference to those countries' economies. And we've got big talkers and social justice warriors and noise on Twitter and people concerned with each other's private affairs and nobody working. And this is not the kind of country I just don't want to be a part of it right now. I mean, maybe today's just a bad day. I'm willing to accept that. But I'm not responsible for everybody else's fuck-ups. And I'm not, I think a lot of people in this country feel that way. Why should we carry the can for Jacob Zuma? Why should we carry the can for Faith Mutambi? Why should we carry the can for Musa Benziswani? Why should we carry the can for all these provinces that are not functioning, that can't, that are stealing from their treasuries? Why should you and I carry on paying tax in a country like that? I don't feel like I get anything for my tax. And I'm not a charity. Otherwise, I would have gone into social work. I don't care enough about other people. Why do you think I'm single? There's no one in the world I want to share things with. Now, that may be a loathsome thing.
Maybe your nephews. Maybe.
You may think I'm a horrible person if I say that. But you're welcome to do whatever you want. If you want to walk through muddy, dusty streets and hand out all your money to everybody around you, you do it. But that's not why I want to live. That's not how I want to live. And if that makes me a horrible person in your eyes, bad luck. Then you don't have to associate with me. But I think there are a lot of people in South Africa who are just sick and tired of being predated upon by a government and a society that is unable to pull itself up by the bootstraps and start becoming productive and useful and positive and forward-moving. I'm over it. Woke up this morning, got onto the road, and I thought, all these poor people are going to work. They're going to hand over at least a third, maybe even a half of everything they earn this year to a government which is just going to steal it. They are driving on roads that they're paying for separately from that if they pay e-tolls. They are paying municipal taxes. They're paying electricity that's gone up astronomically over the past couple of years. I mean, you were probably paying an eighth of what you're paying now for electricity 10 years ago.
Paying an eighth?
An eighth.
Of what? Electricity?
Eight times more now. Numbers, my real strength. Huh?
Hey.
I don't know why I have to, or you or anyone else at that count, have to keep working hard so that parasites and obviously not particularly functional, useful, critical, capable people who run the society, and I say that in inverted commas, I don't see why we should be doing this for them. I don't see why we should be paying money to them. And I don't see why SARS, who probably owe most of us more money than we owe them at this point, haven't paid us all. I don't see why how they get away with that. So I'm not in a very happy place this morning. I just find the whole thing to be exceptionally annoying. And I'm not looking at the glasses half full anymore.
And it's only normal to feel that way, though. As you said, it might just be a bad day or whatever the case is, but I know for certain that a lot of people feel the exact same way that you feel. But on top of that as well, I think a lot of people feel the weight and the pressures of, well, I have so much invested in this country. You know, I have family here, my kids are here, we've set up a foundation, and then there are some people who can't even afford to leave, for example.
Well, I mean, I feel most sorry for those people. But I really think by now I could have made a difference somewhere else. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm an incapable human being. I might have made a small difference somewhere. But what's holding me here? Let me think about it.
Okay. Pros and cons list.
Okay, pros, the fact that
Sia's here.
See us here, of course.
Thanks.
Yeah, I thought that would be the top 100.
Oh, Ben.
I have a network here. I know people.
Yes.
Here. Okay, that's quite useful if you're in business. It so far is not turning into profit for me, but so what? It's network, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Got my family here?
Yes.
But I know for a fact that if my brother could leave, he would be gone. And with him is his children.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he still will. So that might change. Assets and this business and everything else, well, start again. It wouldn't necessarily be that much of a change for me. I've been in startup mode for 3 years anyway.
Okay. Or you just open another office elsewhere.
Yeah, possibly. But I don't want to be... I don't need to be in this office anymore.
Got you.
Friends?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I said to you, 3/4 of my friends live overseas anyway in various places. So all I'd have to do is find the ones I like the most and live near them, and then I got friends again.
Yes.
What else? I mean, what is there?
All right. Let me now take you down the list that...
Your house. Your house means a lot to you.
I'll sell it.
Okay.
Take all the stuff in it and build a new one.
How about the camaraderie you feel when you are stuck in a queue at a grocery store?
So you're going to be met with some swift answers if you want to... paint Gareth the musical right now.
I am trying to look at what makes us South African. You look over at the woman with the crying baby, but then another woman helps her out and we all laugh together in line and we hold hands. What about
you're
that?
Imagining, where do you shop?
We're friendly people, aren't we?
So are people in Hungary, I think.
What about biltong at a rugby festival?
Yeah, you can... Please. You think I couldn't live without biltong?
All
right, listen to this. No, all that
all
shit,
rugby festivals.
See, I don't know.
I don't
damn
care
it.
About sport, so I've never been patriotic in that
what
sense.
What about
either.
Mrs. Ball's chutney, Gareth?
No, I don't care.
Right, anyway.
Totally on the same page as you, Gareth. Sounds like you got your provisional tax return yesterday. No, but when that arrives, I'm not paying it this time. I don't care if I end up in jail. I don't see why I should hand this money over. My electricity bill more than doubled as well, and don't even get me going on Vodacom. We're being ass-raped and we can't do shit about it. Also thinking you're leaving. And then Jonathan Witt says, work with a private school which has had 13 kids in a single grade leave the country with their parents in the last 6 months. Only an idiot would say let them go to this group of high-income, high-tax-paying skilled individuals. It's very bad. Jess says...
13 in one school.
In one grade. Jess says... Gareth, what you're saying is resonating with me so much. I've lived in Abu Dhabi since I left university 7 years ago. I was just home and the front page story in the Star about Faith Mutambi really got to me. The news that the government wants us to pay tax while we are working overseas kills me. I really believe in tax and I'm passionate about sending my money home to different charities. What are you, an idiot? Sorry, that was my line. But the thought of paying 42% of my current salary back to South Africa's government kills me because it's not going to buy textbooks for children who need them in school, or build amenities, or feed into making South Africa a better place. It's going to go into someone's back pocket, but it may just be a bad day. Yeah, look, this government has done in the last 5 years so much damage to its own credibility that not a single department, and it used to at least be SARS, you knew they worked properly. They don't even work properly anymore. So I keep saying to people, because I am a positive kind of guy, believe it or not. Today maybe not, but sure. I keep saying to people, it has to get worse before it'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting to the point where I don't know if it will get better. Not because government is so shit and because we can't get rid of them, but because the people of this country have such shitty ideas. People in this country believe in things like socialism. They believe in nonsense like, and I'm not saying everybody, but there are parts of society that believe in stuff like white monopoly capitalism. And that believe capitalism, first of all, is bad. Well, if you like being poor, capitalism is bad. And don't think you'll ever improve your life with socialism. But that's none of my business. The fact that we have a society that believes that things like that are a good idea, that things like a national health insurance would be a good idea. I don't know if I can make it there. I don't know if I can persuade that many people to read, to learn, to educate themselves. And if that's the case, why am I fighting? Why should I? Gareth, move to Namibia, says Quentin. Here we have less for our government to steal.
Yeah, you still linked to the rand, though.
Yeah, look.
Does desert sand have an appeal to you, Gareth?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I put up I thought it was a funny Facebook update this morning. For couples who flaunt their love on Facebook, then suddenly go quiet after they break up, you need to tell us exactly what happened. Yeah. We've invested a lot of time, a lot of likes, and comments on your pictures and posts. We need closure too.
Or at least a bit of a fight.
Yeah. So there's something to just distract us off of my otherwise negative bent for this morning. I don't know. I'm just, I see a lot of people taking a free ride. And I see a lot of people skimming off of the state coffers while the rest of us are working and doing backbreaking work. And not enjoying it particularly because of the high cost of living and the ever-increasing cost of living in this country. And then people say to me, oh, we live well in Africa. And, you know, most people who live in other countries don't have as good a life as we do. I beg to differ. I think you can make a difference wherever you are. I think geography is the least important thing about being a human now. And citizenship means nothing. I don't care if they write on my grave, South African or Azerbaijanian. I don't care about that. It means zero to me.
Hey, the world is smaller than it's ever been, really.
Yeah, but the whole idea of nationalism, patriotism, it does zero for me, really. Kelly says, I stood in line at SARS for 4 hours yesterday, which stopped moving at 1:30. Then at 3, someone came outside and told us they would not be helping anyone other than people doing returns. I was there to register a business. I will be going again this morning. I have no choice. So government, in that one WhatsApp from Kelly, you have a universe of problems. First of all, SARS, your income and revenue stream, is not functioning properly. Kelly says that. She stood there herself. Kelly also tried to open a business, which may employ people, which may alleviate some of the problems of this country. And if Kelly is successful, and trust me, starting a business, not fun, not easy, not cool, not entrepreneurial and exciting, fucking blood, sweat, and tears. So for Kelly to do that, it's already the bravest person in the room. Going again, to stand in a queue, to waste her productive time. This is not someone on the unemployment line who's got nothing else to do all day, and is waiting for a handout. I'm not happy with Kelly's message. This indicates to me a huge sickness, a huge amount of viral disease at the center of our state. And we know where it comes from, and we know who's responsible, and the only people who are laughing at the moment are the Guptas. As I said, I wouldn't want to be the president right now, because I think they're coming for him, whether it's the Russians, whether it's the rest of his own party, whether it's the people of this country, he has a lot of enemies and a lot of enemies.
Also, it's very hot in Dubai at the moment, so you can't really just go there.
No. So the Guptas are the ones who really, they are laughing at us because they've come in, they've taken whatever they wanted, and they can go anywhere in the world now. They don't have to sit here and wait for justice. In fact, they can get out. They mostly have, if we're going to believe the stories we've heard about money leaving South Africa. So they're going to wave as they disappear with our loot and they switch off the lights. And I don't know if I want to be in a dark place. So I would say to anyone I loved and cared about right now, make a plan to have another alternative. And I don't care if you go to Angola, Namibia, Botswana, England, France, Mexico, the US, or anywhere else. But have a plan. Because this is not going to... At this point, the picture does not look good. That's about the most honest I've been in a long time about this. Because I missed the positive. Well, it's over now. No more positivity from me. Not today, anyway. Hopefully tomorrow I wake up and I feel much, much better. All right, let's get into some news. Now, Mubs isn't here today. She's not feeling well. So we'll just go through a couple of stories and see what we can put together for you. And it's brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. And, of course, we know all the fantastic things that they do. But the one thing you can do to improve your life immediately, and Colcacchio's are trying to do their bit to improve our lives, and that is to download the app ASAP. If you download the app, you can start rewarding yourself with slices. That will make you feel better. It'll make me feel better, that's for sure. Alright, do you want to know what's going on in the news? Here are a couple of breaking stories for you this morning, which is the 2nd of August. First of all, Musi Maimane is going to hand over a petition signed by 1 million people to Cyril Ramaphosa, who will then throw it in the rubbish. Democratic Alliance leader Musi Maimane is expected to hand deliver a petition signed by 1 million people. And what is this petition? Well, it's obviously about the president and the vote of no confidence, right? Deputy President, says Musi, has been vocal in his condemnation of state capture, looting, and grand corruption within the SNCN government. Musi Maimane. Anybody care about that? Can we move on to the next story?
Hey, well, you say you wouldn't like to be the president, but look at that. He still has people in his corner, though.
Yes.
You know, Gwede Mandasha the other day was telling MPs that whoever doesn't like their decisions to keep the president can take a hike. So, I mean, president's still having a great old time, it seems.
Well, he puts on a brave face.
Yeah. Well, on those comments, though, the DA is saying that it's exploring criminal charges against ANC Secretary General Gwede Mandasha for what the party views as threats against members of parliament. So, the ANC.
Like Makosi Koza, right?
Mm-hmm. Basically, the ANC's chief whip in Parliament, Jackson Tembu, called onto the party to act against MP Mondli Gungubele, whom he says is also part of a defiance campaign against President Jacob Zuma. Mandasha said the party could not allow free agents within its ranks, but DA chief whip John Steenhuisen says Mandasha's utterances violate the powers, privileges, and immunities of the Parliament Act. So, hey, the Act make it an offence to coerce, threaten, or intimidate MPs to behave in a certain manner. And in conclusion, he says, we will be exploring various options in terms of how we'll hold Mr. Mandasha accountable for his violation of this Act.
Well, here's some potentially good news. The so-called Dacha couple, Julian Stubbs and Myrtle Clark, who we met here on the show twice, will head back to the Pretoria High Court on Wednesday.
See what I mean? Hold on to that feeling.
Right. The couple believes the banned substance is not a gateway drug to other narcotics.
And now they're at the High Court, they must feel very confident.
Yes.
It's a gateway drug to chilling.
The High Court. There were a bunch of people, a friend sent a video to me, there were a bunch of people protesting outside the Pretoria High Court in order to keep marijuana illegal. Now, I want to know who those people are.
And what is wrong with their lives?
Why are you so moved? It's winter, you have to take... Probably, you know, your own time. It's
don't you
a day
want to know
off.
Who those, don't you want to meet those people? Don't you want to sit them down and say, why are you interfering in other people's business all the time? You nosy Parker. What is it to you? What do you have? So you don't have to smoke marijuana and you can stop your kids. But what the fuck business is it of yours that other people are doing it? Who are you, you pain in the ass activist piece of shit? That's what someone should say to them.
You've probably done absolutely no research on the matter and have no understanding of what marijuana can do.
You're probably there because Jesus told you or because your father was an alcoholic or some other horrible shit that isn't anyone else's problem. How dare you try and make everybody else conform to your idea of what's right?
Have you ever
away. I'd like to put a fire hydrant on in front of them. Who are these people? Who wakes up in the morning and goes, I'm going to stop other people from doing what they want? What kind of people wake up like that in the morning? How damaged were you at childbirth? Who fiddled with your genitals when you were four that you have to want to do this to the rest of us?
That's a lot now.
Why are you so unhappy that you must spread your unhappiness? Huh? Same people who have a problem with gay marriage. Same people who have a problem with
gays.
Divorce. These are people who have a problem. They have a problem with everything. They have a problem with everything. Because they're trying to control you and me and Sia and Mabali and Amanda and Ben. Because their own lives are cuck. That's the truth. If someone will just sit them down and admit, listen, you need therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You're an unhappy person. Trying to control other people is not going to make you happy. Stop it. Have some weed. Prescribe it to those people. And you know how I feel. I think drugs are bad, okay? Don't do them. I don't. But if you want to, whatever. Who am I to tell you that you're not allowed to do drugs? Do whatever you want. You're in charge of your own meat. You make your decisions. These people will pitch up at my bedside one day, these people protesting outside the court. And they'll say, you're not allowed to kill yourself. Yes, you may have lost all your internal organs and you may be bleeding through every orifice. You're going to stay alive. Why? Because we say so. Who are you? We have decided we're in charge of society. We're the moral minority. Well, do that in your own family. People protesting outside this court. Good luck to the Dacha couple.
Speaking of courts and all kinds of other things, Claudie Motsoneng's pension's being withheld, or it's being kind of...
Good. Do you remember what I said?
There was a big day yesterday in Parliament around this.
Do you remember what I said, what was it, a year and a half ago? I said, I hope and I pray that Claudie Motsoneng will end up outside a shack with tattered and torn clothes on, begging like a deranged lunatic on the street with a bowl, hoping someone to hand out some cash to him. It's going to happen. Watch. Mark my words.
He's also been told to pay back the 11 million rand bonus that was linked to basically him selling SABC's archives to MultiChoice.
Yep.
And
he's denuded it. He's done to the SABC what the Guptas have done to the country.
Just on a faster rate.
Mm.
But Gareth, this is another great story, is that with the SABC board, obviously they need a new one, over 360 applicants have put their names forward.
Right.
But what does being on the board of SABC actually really mean?
Over 360
people want to be on the board of SABC.
Well, of course, it's a cash cow. I mean, can't you tell the SABC is doing so well? But the one thing you do know for sure is those board members do get paid. And we've seen that. So we saw that blind Professor Maguve a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, he couldn't leave. He didn't know where the door was.
No, the fact was that he did quite well out of the SABC. Sure. So, of course, there are a lot of thousands of unemployed people in this country, Ben. Of course, they want jobs.
Yeah, but there's no money left in the SABC now. So what are they going to fleece?
I got to say, it must be embarrassing to work at the SABC. And for those of my friends who are still there, you need to thoroughly examine what your life has come to. If you go in to the SABC every day for work.
Now, the DA's Phumzi Lefundama has actually asked, what happens with the bailout? You know they've asked for a bailout from Treasury, right? But it's a little hush-hush as far as how much is concerned and why they need so much money. And when pushed on yesterday in Parliament, she didn't get an answer. There was no answers available by the interim board chair. That's another tough question, though.
Hmm.
Because you seriously are inheriting a system that is so rotten and so broken and so messed up. And now you've got to be accountable, and you've done no wrong.
Well, I'm not going to hold my breath. As I said the other day, if the SABC falls and disappears from public view and is bought in pieces by private enterprise, that'll probably be the best thing that can happen to them.
You know, in my mind, I would really like to believe that at least 340 of these 360 applicants are, you know, right there saying that they believe that they can build the SABC up again and they'll make a difference.
You take the SABC 8 and you make them the board and we let that happen.
There we go.
And then things will start to improve.
There we go.
Other than that, all the rest of these people are probably just political nobodies looking for an appointment and a free lunch. That's what they're looking for. We've got so many people in this country who are looking for a free lunch. No skills, no ability. All they have is ideology. And speaking of that, the other news story I want to throw in before we get to Ben is that Julius Malema has opened his mouth and proven yet again that without racial hatred, he doesn't have much of an agenda. This time his ire has been focused on Indian people. Julius has turned his nastiness to the Indian crowd And the Minority Rights Equality Movement on Monday opened a case of hate speech against him following his statement calling Indians worse than Afrikaners. So now what we do is we take Afrikaners and we demonize them, and then we demonize the Indians and we say they're worse than those people we've already demonized. This is the terminus to which leftist nonsense brings you. And Julius is just proving for the first time in a long time, because he's mostly been sensible for a long while. I think he had some decent coaching. He was talking to smart people. He had an idea of what his constituency wanted. He's starting to disappear back into the fog of racial hatred. And this is what happens when a country's sliding backwards. Everybody slides backwards with it, including Julius. Just remember, more black people voted for the DA in the last election than voted for the EFF. Don't forget that the next time they open up their mouths and start telling you that they're the party that should be in government. And I don't even like the DA, but that's a fact. Done. That's the news for this morning. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. All right, Ben?
Yeah.
All right.
So the Cheetahs and the Kings have been told, well, you can't play Super Rugby anymore because we've got too many teams in Super Rugby. To which another tournament that seems to have a lot of teams, well, they've taken them in. So there used to be a thing called the Pro 12. Now, the Pro 12 was essentially made up of the Celtic rugby region. So we're talking about the Welsh, the Scottish, Irish, and then there's some Italians thrown in there too. So it's like the poor man's Champions League, as I've referred to in it before. So the cool thing is for the Chiefs, sorry, the Kings and the Cheetahs, is they'll get about £550,000, which is a lot of money, right?
That is a lot of money.
They will then have a completely different system, so their seasons are going to be a mess. Now, Gareth, if you think Super Rugby is long, this Pro 14 now is going to start in September and it will end on May 26th. September, that's 7, 8... It's a lot of months. It's a lot of months. It's difficult to comprehend how long this tournament is. So there'll be 14 teams, just to run you through. There'll be two conferences, essentially. And in those conferences, there'll be your local derbies. They're not losing that, because that was a big part of this whole thing. And then every team will play every other team in this tournament. So even though there's two conferences, you get a bash at everybody. So it's kind of cool. It kind of makes sense. Kind of like Super Rugby, if it was maybe smarter. You'll get 12 home and away games in your team's conference. And then 7 home or away games against each other team from the other conference. That's kind of what Super Rugby try to play at. Plus, there'll be an additional 2 rounds to ensure that derby fixtures are played home and away, so that the Scottish people and the Italians and the South Africans will then also play an additional derby. So it's a good thing, I think. And also for these teams, they can have their own identity, they can do their own thing, they can become financially stable in their own right, because they're going to be making kind of foreign currency. They're still playing home games in PE and in Bloem, which will then bring foreigners to the country. That's a good thing, right? That's additional stuff. But it's just that season is going to be so difficult. So while other South African rugby players will be chilling on the beach with their flossies, these guys will be playing in like cold, muddy weather throughout the whole festive season. Because that's how these things work in Northern Hemisphere.
That's awful.
It is a bit tough. But this is the future, you know. This is the thing. We are away from the stage where we live in this perfect world where we can all play in one tournament and everyone just has the same thing. It is it's the way that we should be expanding. I still firmly believe this. I think we should be looking more into Europe and how we're going to take our franchise rugby there. And there's just so many South Africans already in Europe as well. So I'm all for it. Go Pro 14. I don't think you need to know much more than that. I can tell you there's 2 Italian teams. There's you don't need to know. 2 Irish teams, 2 Welsh teams, 1 Italian, 1 Scottish, and 1 South African. There'll be 2 conferences of that composition. So if you like Italian, Welsh, or Irish rugby, this could be the thing.
All right.
Into other rugby news, of course, it is the Super Rugby final this weekend. There are no tickets left. It is a complete and utter sellout. 60,000 people. That is going to be such a spectacle, and I shall be going. I am so excited
this.
I'm so excited. Plus, Gareth, not to harp on more from your initial sentiments in the show, is that I don't see a Super Rugby final coming to this country for quite some time after this. This is the top of the line's sort of golden era. I can't see any other teams, the way they've been pissing away talent, rightfully or wrongfully. I can't see it happening. So if there is a way you can somehow get to Ellis Park on Saturday, this is it. It's going to be amazing. I just hope they don't do something cheesy like play the national anthem. You know, people always feel duty bound to play the anthem at things.
They do.
Dreadful idea. It better not happen on Saturday. Because for one, there's a New Zealand team playing. I'm not going to sing their anthem as well. It's going to make this very clear. If you've got any ideas, Ellis Park, there'll be no anthem. Bloody hell. Right, so 2 days' time, Friday, the World Athletics Championship starts. And this is a really big deal. Mostly because it's Usain Bolt's final run. Now, to think this guy has never really been beaten in all the sort of big events he's ever been in. So he wants to finish as the undisputed, the greatest, the unbeatable. And that is quite something to say when you think his career spans 3 Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
It is just sensational what he has achieved in a sport which is just so incredibly difficult to maintain an intensity at. He is the only guy that has been able to stay at the top without taking the drugs. If you look at, I forgot what the stat is now, but if you look at the 20 fastest times ever recorded on the 100 meters, and on the 100 meters, Gareth, in history, Usain Bolt is the only one to have recorded his times clean. That's quite something, him.
Huh? Uh-huh.
If you had to go back as far as, I would say, even the top 40 times of all time, the only guy who's done it clean has been Bolt.
That's amazing. He really is a hero.
Yeah, so although we do sort of bemoan the fact there's no characters in sports anymore and people crap on about the fact that sports is very watered down.
This guy is still a
character. Here we have probably one of the greatest of any generation, any era, any sport, any whatever you want. And here he is. He's buying out from Friday. Sorry, this weekend. So Friday will be the heats. Now, people have been saying that Bolt isn't retiring at his best and that he's been a bit sluggish, been a bit too selective. Injuries obviously played a role. But what he says is that he really does well at championships because he likes the way he can ease into a race. So he'll have the heats. And then they'll go into Saturday, which will be the semi-final and the final. So he knows he can build his best up. When you have these once-off meets and he's running sort of 997, 998, and he's just sort of sneaking home, he just feels that this now is his strong point. So you don't really want to bet against him because everyone thought that Gatlin was going to beat him last year and Gatlin was going to kind of come through and really translate all that form into triumph. But Bolt just stands there, and his presence alone, I think, is going to be so daunting on track against anybody. So the final will be Saturday night. So if you watch the rugby, don't get too drunk because you have to be at least able to watch the TV and make out what this is going to be. Usain Bolt's final race. It's the IAAF World Championships. Akane Simbine will be there as well in the 100. And I think the only sort of downer about Bolt's farewell is that he won't be running the 200. Now, I say this for two reasons. Is that the 200 is his event. It's, I know the 100's like what he's known for, but when he started running, 200 was his big dream. His one goal as a child was to be the 200 meter world champion, Olympic champion. So he's not doing that. And also, I think the fairy tale we'd all love to see is Wade van Niekerk versus Bolt. As much as I love Bolt, I think Wade van Niekerk would actually beat him right now. I can say it with a fair amount of confidence. Wade van Niekerk is the next superstar in athletics, everyone keeps saying.
Yeah.
200 and 400 is what he'll be running in. Carsten Semenya, who is, well, is equally as dominant, really, she'll be running the 800, but she'll also be running the 1.5. So she's not just sort of resting on her laurels, as they say. She's actually going to extend herself and run the two events. And yeah, we've got a decent showing in this IAAF World Champs. I'll go through the exact events with you tomorrow. In football news, it is the Community Shield this weekend, which means that the people who won the league in England take on the people who won the FA Cup, which means Arsenal versus Chelsea.
Huh.
It's a big contest right off the bat here, big London derby.
They've never faced each other before.
Never before, Gareth. This is such a new thing. Chelsea is a club that plays in a blue shirt and Arsenal in a red. Huh. So Sunday, South African time, 3:00. So if you've been missing football, if you've been pining for football like a lost dog, it all comes back to you this weekend. And, well, it's the Community Shield, so it's not like exactly a big thing, but Arsenal will take any silverware whatsoever, so they'll be very, very keen for it. Alexis Sanchez is back with the team after what many thought would be, you know, his farewell summer, because he's shown interest in playing elsewhere, and obviously he's worth a lot of money, so he can definitely get a lot of money, but he's back with Arsenal, whether he likes it or not.
Cool.
Yeah, there's cricket starting on Friday, so I think we'll get more into that tomorrow. There's, of course, the WGC Bridgestone thingy, which is a huge thing for all golf because all the big players are there. Rory McIlroy have a new caddy. But yeah, let's get into that tomorrow.
All right. Very nice. Thank you, Ben. We'll get to the finance now with Anthea. Find out what's going on with our money. That's right, the money shot. And she's on the line. Anthea Gardner, let's go straight to her. Do you want her original song? It's still my favorite.
Yeah, it is still the best.
It's the best, right? It's actually Anthea singing. A lot of people don't know that. But it's, yeah. You didn't know that?
Mm-mm.
She looks hard for the money.
Can't you tell?
So hard for it, honey.
So pitch perfect.
She looks hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Anthea, good morning.
She
Good morning, Gareth and Thea. I heard that sarcasm.
Anthea, absolutely not. There is no auto-tune there. Just the sound of straining from, you know, the smell of, you know, hair gel and hairspray in the air. That's all.
Well, it is an 80s song. Anthea, what kind of a perverse country do we live in where our own stock market is actually geared to bet against us in terms of our currency?
Yes, I'm afraid that's exactly how it is. You spotted it, Gareth. So we hit another all-time high yesterday. You obviously noticed. Mm-hmm. And the Rand blew out, which you clearly have picked up on. I mean, I think you can call it perverse. The other thing you can do is look at it and say, well, I understand it, so I must take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the Rand is now 13.27 to the dollar, which is a little bit counter to where the dollar is trading because it's relatively weak. I think investors are beginning to think that the Fed may not raise interest rates again this year. And yes, as you said, the all share index was up 0.5% to yet another all-time high. So lots going on at the moment. I mean, I think the weaker Rand is being driven by PMI manufacturing data, which was released yesterday. The gauge fell to 42.9.
What's PMI again?
Purchasing Managers Index. So it's just an acronym for nothing. What you need to know is that it measures manufacturing in the economy.
Got you.
And it's an index. So the gauge fell to 49.2. This is compared to June's 46.7. And the market was expecting it to come in at 48. Because, you know, in June, when we spoke, we had the 46.7 was actually a nice surprise. And so we all thought, well, look at that. We've got a bit of a recovery. But actually, July turned against us. So, yeah. And this level, this 42.9, the last time we saw this level was during the recession of 2008 and 2009. And I think that's what's got everyone skittish again. I mean, so of course, the weaker Rand pushed resources and industrials higher, while financials and retailers reacted negatively. Precious metals like gold and platinum were really what drove resources higher yesterday as well. The gold index was up about 0.75%, despite Anglo Gold, which was flat. And Anglo Gold makes up quite a big percentage of this index. They put out quite a poor first half trading statement yesterday. They're guiding to an interim loss of between 19 and 23 cents per share. I mean, the reasons for that, they're saying earnings were hit by impairments at some of their South African operations and also provision for possible settlement with workers who contracted lung disease at the mines. And then they've got a once-off non-cash provision of $47 million for what they were talking about in June, that they potentially could be retrenching 8,500 workers. So really, again, another company looking to retrench and to streamline operations and, of course, increase the unemployment line in South Africa.
Well, what are you going to do?
Exactly. They have to. They don't really have a choice. I mean, if things become unsustainable and uncompetitive, like, you know, they're already making a loss on earnings per share. So we'd rather have the company stay in business than fold completely, I think.
For sure.
And then in the industrial space, British American Tobacco had a nice little 2% bounce yesterday. And this is despite bad news. That Daniel cigarettes are being accused of bribing African government officials to influence tobacco legislation. You know, they were down 9% between Friday and Monday after the FDA said that they were going to reduce nicotine levels. I mean, we already have Rainit in our hashtag invest portfolios.
Yes.
But I think that this share is going to bounce a little bit because I think this FDA regulation will take a while to come into play. And let's be honest, the US government makes so much tax revenue from cigarettes that the last thing they want to do is reduce the sale of cigarettes too much so that it reduces their tax revenues. What is the word for that?
Cynical, I suppose.
Cynical, thank you.
But I'll tell you something, you're not that cynical. I mean, this just proves the hypocrisy of governments all over the world that proclaim themselves to be anti-tobacco and they're thinking about the health of their citizens, then you shouldn't take a single cent from the sale of tobacco. You should ban it outright, and you shouldn't have any money coming to you from it. But the fact that governments are willing with one hand to take money that tobacco sales generate, and with the other hand to tell you how they don't think you should smoke, is outrageous.
Yes, and that's just the funny thing with government, right? At one hand, they're trying to pretend that they are your overseer and caretaker, On the other hand, not so much.
So are you saying you would Byron it, or that we'll just hold on to it for a little bit longer?
We're going to hold on to it because I think it'll bounce back. So I was trying to decide, it was quite a tough one, whether or not I should sell out, and decided to hold on to it because, you know, these things get overdone, and you don't want to try and time the market or time the bounce and then sell out and then have to buy back when it's lower, because all you're doing is incurring trading costs. So I'm going to hold on. I held on to the Reynets, and potentially if you wanted to add to your portfolio, you could buy some British American tobaccos.
All right. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. And then retailers were also under pressure yesterday because of the weaker rand, and particularly the Fashini Group, because they did a book build the night before where they raised 2.5 billion rand to pay for this Australian acquisition we'd spoken about before. They placed 17 million new shares at 145 rand at a premium to where their average 30-day trading volume was. So interesting that investors are looking to the share, you know, like that they're picking up the consumer shares or the retail shares in such a difficult economic environment.
Right.
But I guess, like we spoke about yesterday, like it's South Africa's just a very tough environment at the moment because there's this big dislocate between the economy, which is in recession, and the stock market, which keeps going up. And that even though you think you want to be owning these shares, it's quite a difficult for me anyway. It's quite a difficult decision to make to buy into a share that is so correlated to the economy. But apparently there's demand for it.
All right.
And then in the US, Apple shares were up 6% after market trade yesterday. They reported a surprisingly strong financial third quarter. Revenue rose to $45.4 billion from $42.36 billion in the quarter. And normally that April-June quarter is quite a soft one for Apple because I think everyone just waits for the September launch of the new iPhone. And apparently it didn't happen this time around. I mean, iPhone sales were up 1.6%, so they sold in the quarter 41.03 million. Analysts were expecting them to sell only 40.7 million units. I can't really explain it because normally it would be softer. And then what is interesting is the iPad seems to be making a bit of a comeback. They sold $1 billion more worth of iPads than analysts were expecting. So they sold $4.9 billion worth of iPads. And I think it looks like to me, if I just read very quickly through it, it looks like the new bigger screen models of the iPad are now the most popular. So people are really going for the bigger screens. And then what really surprised me, Apple Watch sales was up 50%.
Wow.
And yeah, that I can't explain. So I don't know what suddenly drove Apple Watches. I guess if I dig into it a bit deeper, I'll have a look today and see what that was all about.
That sounds interesting.
And then pretty much on trend, there was a 22% increase in their services revenue, which we've been speaking about forever. That seems to be where Apple really is making their money. I think the big disappointment was probably Greater China, where revenue fell by 9.5%. And there it looks like Chinese are going for probably, domestic offerings rather than the iPhone.
I got you.
Yeah. So overall, Apple are now saying that they're forecasting revenue for the next quarter to be between $49 and $52 billion. I mean, that's not a bad business. If every 3 months you can make $50 billion in revenue.
No, that's amazing. That's a good business.
I'd say. And then Cook has hinted that Apple is experimenting with self-driving cars, and he said it may include ambitions to extend beyond the cars. So they're making big investments in what they call autonomous systems. And so I think maybe this is where Apple is going to regain its edge. You know, it's pretty much done with the iPad. I mean, what do you call it? The iPod moving on to greater things, it seems.
Right.
And really, I must say, these Apple results are driving the market because it's nice green across my screen again this morning.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll follow suit.
All right. Well, thank you, Anthea. Let's see. Let's
My
hold
pleasure.
Thumbs.
Have a good day.
All right. Very good. Anthea Gardner, a look at the markets, the money shot. It's 7 o'clock on the dot. I hope you're ready for a good day. Today in the company of Cliff Central, I'm going to play some Usher. Just don't get any herpes. All right. You got it? When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the stuff going on in the news.
Make every minute worth it, babe. This for Usher, babe. I done been around the world, I done kissed a lot of girls, so I'm guessing that it's...
This is CliffCentral.com.